If you're a regular attender at church here, I just want to give you an arbitrary definition of what that means. Okay? It means you're here most of the time. Okay? So I just want to play with something here a little bit. I want you just to assume that you're here 50 weeks out of the year. Okay? Just think about that for a minute. I know that's a lot to ask of somebody to be here 50 weeks out of the year, but listen to this. That means that you've heard 50 sermons this year, in the last year, right? So if you come to, and I thought about this now, if you come to church here in a typical, if you come to church over the typical lifetime, you could actually hear about 2,000 to 3,000 sermons by the time you're done. I mean, that could actually bore you to death, right? But I got to thinking about that the other day, and while I was planning on this message, I was thinking about how many sermons that I've actually heard. And I don't want to one-up anybody. I don't want to try to, you know, to challenge you. But since I've been in college, since I've been in seminary, I have probably, I don't even know how to count them. I've listened to so many sermons, more than I can count. But that's really what I do. I listen to sermons. It's how I was taught in terms of just how to communicate, learning from people, also growing myself and just, you know, trying to hear some things. And I've also learned from some of that how not to communicate, some of those sermons probably. I don't know if I should tell anybody this or not, but I mean, there's some times when I listen to a sermon and I'll be listening, I'll just turn it off. I'm done with it, you know, because just listening to it. But that some sermons are probably enough to shorten, or listening to that many is probably enough to shorten anyone's life. I started coming here in the summer of 2010 to preach. And I have now preached somewhere in the vicinity of 300 sermons here at New Life. 300. And to that, to you guys, okay? It only felt like a long time, okay? In the 21 years that I have been a preacher, I have probably preached somewhere in the vicinity of 1,200 sermons, or 1,200 times, I should say, and most of which my wife has heard. Many of those times she's heard them once before I preach it, and then when I preach it, so she's heard it twice. So if you want to feel sorry for her, you can certainly do that. But that's an awful lot of times to listen to a sermon, isn't it? And I keep wondering to myself, why would anybody want to do that? Now, that's not counting, mind you. That's not counting weddings and funerals. If you want to talk about funerals, then that's probably add another 150. It's about how many funerals I've had. Weddings, I'm really not sure about how many I've had. I know we had one here back in August of last year. Was that right? Yeah, that's not too long ago. Okay. So, but anyway, what I'm trying to tell you here is that preaching is something that really plays an important part of what we do here at New Life. And I just realized the other day when I was looking at some of our core values, and I was just revisiting some of those, and I realized that when we sat down to write out those core values, Joe and Dave, we forgot, or I don't know what happened, but I was just looking at them, and we didn't list preaching as one of our core values. We really didn't. And I thought, I don't know why that is, but I think that they should be. And if I were to describe it, what I would say is that one of our core values as a church here at New Life, one of our core values is biblical preaching. And I also think that biblical teaching should be listed among those things that is included in all of our core values. And here's why, because I think that there is a connection between that and the other things that we value, like the value that we place upon Scripture, the value that we place upon discipleship, and because I think that those things are really relevant for our lives, and I think that those things are very biblical. And what I want to do this morning is I just want to address this by asking this question, what in the world does that mean to me? What does that mean to us? What does that do for us? And I want to just start by looking at Luke chapter 4, and if you want to grab your Bibles, you can turn to that. We're going to start with Luke chapter 4, maybe even we're going to also move ahead to Luke chapter 9. You can kind of keep a finger in that and keep a place for that. So I just want to encourage you as we read this to hear and listen for the preaching language that occurs in Luke chapter 4 and then again in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 4, is the initiation of Jesus' ministry. And we see it at the very beginning of the chapter where he goes down to the synagogue to preach, and then we carry that all the way down to about verse 42 of Luke chapter 4. But just take a look at this. In verse 42 he says, "At daybreak Jesus went out to a solitary place, and the people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent.' And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea." And so you can see that at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, one of the primary things that he did was that he preached. In fact, one of the most common phrases used about Jesus in Matthew and Mark and Luke in those three Gospels is that Jesus preached and he taught and he healed. Those three things seem to kind of cycle together regularly. And then when you go over just a few chapters to chapter 9, you see his sending out of the disciples, and you'll notice that same connection. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse number 1. Are you with me? "When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, 'Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them.' And so they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere." The emphasis on preaching and teaching that is both relevant and biblical. Now let me just try to unpack that for you just a little bit. If preaching is relevant, it's supposed to be preaching about that which matters, or something that you at least think matters. And so, now there's really two ways of getting at that, and churches typically opt for one of two ways of getting at their preaching. And one is to talk about the felt needs of people. What is it that happens to be current in their lives? What are the issues that they happen to be facing in their lives? In fact, that's a really popular way to decide what to preach about. I went out and just did some looking, okay? So if you'd be interested, here are some sermon titles of some series, okay? There is a sermon series going on at some church out there in Churchland. This next week or two, they're talking about living the abundant life. And what they mean by that is how you deal with anxiety and how you deal with resentment. Now, those are good topics. Things that we all face, issues of bitterness, things of being anxious about things. And you could go to another church that has this family series. Here's the title of their series that they're doing. Their family series, the first one is Meeting Our Kids' Needs. The next one is Understanding Your Wife. The next one is Helping Your Husband. And now all of those things seem to me just to be impossible. But maybe that's why they need to be preached about. I don't know. I did find a place out there. I've actually been thinking about this one pretty seriously since I located it. But there's this website out there that you can go to, and actually for about as little as $19.95, you can actually download sermons that you never actually have to write yourself. I'm beginning to think that might sound a little reasonable. Of course, then I went out and did a Google search. Sunday morning sermon topics, just typed it right in. Are you ready for this? Tell me you're ready. Okay. Okay, here are some that are being preached today somewhere in the great USA. Did you bring your body to church? I don't know of any other way to come than that. I really don't, okay? There was this one. There was prayers to the earth. In fact, that one had an explanation saying that this particular preacher was going to talk about earth-based faith. I mean, I didn't really want to think about that one very long. I guess it just didn't seem to me to have very much grounding. Sorry about that. I couldn't resist. We got it. Or maybe you could try this one. This one, the title is, the title's actually pretty harmless, Building Bridges. But it was the explanation that I thought was really interesting. For over two decades, Dr. Tate's work has been fueled by her intense interest and passion for travel, comparative religions, ancient cultures, and goddess spirituality. Okay. Sunday morning at that church, you're going to be, at best, you're going to get to choose from a number of different options of beliefs and practices, right? At worst, you would try to somehow adopt all of the above and to make some sort of sense of all of that. They call that syncretism. But most likely, you'll just end up pagan. So what does all this mean? It means, I think, that one of the things that we wrestle with when we preach is whether we're going to base our sermons on human needs or around God. And oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes when people strive to be relevant, they end up preaching about human need. And so sermons become very much man-centered. Not that that's all bad. I mean, the only problem with that, as I see it, is that you've got to ask yourself, what are you going to accomplish when you're all done with that? A relevant sermon about how to live financially stable lives, a relevant sermon about how to have a good family, a relevant sermon about good husband and wife relationships may make you a better person, but it won't. It cannot connect you to God. It cannot address our deepest needs. Now, it shouldn't surprise you to learn that I believe all preaching should be God-centered. And what that means, I think, is that if you have a right relationship with God, then your marriage and your finances and your anxiety and your resentment and all the other human needs that we have, those things can be met. But the opposite may not be true. And so here's what I believe. Once a person understands how to relate to God, then in that context, you can then learn how to relate to one another and how to relate to the world and how to relate to your finances and how to relate to anything else that life happens to bring. See, one of my questions about man-centered preaching isn't so much about what happens in the best of times, but rather, my question is what happens in the worst of times. And the question that I ask myself here almost every single week is this, as I'm thinking about New Life, will what I say, will that prepare you for the day that your life comes crashing down? Because if it doesn't, then I think that I have missed what's important. And in fact, even more important than that is I have failed to prepare people to meet God. And see, ultimately, that's where every single one of us stands, is to give an account before our Father about our spiritual condition before Him. He may not ever ask you about the quality of your marriage. He may or may not ask you about how well you did with your finances, but I guarantee you, He will ask you this, what did you do about Jesus? And so preaching that is biblical and relevant is both biblical and relevant. And so when I look at preaching, the preaching vocabulary in Scripture, when I look at what the content of preaching is in the Bible, what I discover is that there was in fact a content to their preaching, and their preaching was always about big issues. It was always about issues that had size to them. And so they went about, for example, preaching the kingdom. That kind of preaching, that's the kind of preaching that I'd like to hear, right? Preaching about the kingdom. Preaching about things that matter, like the kingdom of God. And when I read Scripture, when I read in Scripture, what I read there is that God's kingdom, it's not about a place, but it's about a person, and it's not about territory, it's about a relationship with a God who governs the universe. And when I become a part of God's kingdom, I don't just enter into His territory. I submit to His sovereignty. The preaching of Scripture, the preaching that is biblical about the kingdom of God, is to ask people like you and me to place ourselves under the sovereign leadership of God Himself. It doesn't ask us about what are the benefits of being in the kingdom. It asks about what the king wants and what he deserves. Sovereign God, kingdom preaching is about God breaking into our world. It's about God coming in and addressing our culture. It's about God. What does God have to say about how you and I live our lives? It shapes everything. Not about you and me. It shapes everything about Him and then my response to that. Biblical relevant preaching is preaching that focuses its attention on repentance and the forgiveness of sins. When we come to the very end of the Gospel of Luke, we see that very thing spoken by Jesus after His resurrection. He says in Luke chapter 24, as He comes to Luke's version of the Great Commission, in Luke chapter 24, He says in verse 46, He says this. He says, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all of these things. Well, it's not popular preaching. Right? Most biblical preaching fails at the level of being popular because it doesn't offer you something. It doesn't tell you how to have a better life. It doesn't address itself to some particular felt need in your experience. What it says is that there is a God and you're not Him. And that God is interested in your life. That He wants a relationship with you. That He wants to show you how to live your life in a way that pleases Him. And when you live your life in a way that pleases Him, that the rest of those things will take care of themselves. And so biblical, relevant preaching is going to call you. It's going to call you to repentance. It's going to call you to take a look at your life and to ask yourself, are you living the way that God wants you to live? It isn't going to ask you to look at your spouse. It isn't going to ask you to go and to think about your neighbor and what they're doing. It is going to ask you, are you living the way that God calls you to live? And if you're not, the Bible word for that is repentance. And biblical preaching calls you to repentance. There's a summary of a biblical sermon that occurs in Acts chapter 10. It's the record of a sermon that Peter preached in Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. Look at this is what Peter says. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with them. We are witnesses of everything He did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed Him by hanging Him on a tree. But God raised Him from the dead on the third day and caused Him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one whom God anointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about Him, that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Do you hear it? Biblical preaching in the book of Acts is preaching about Christ under the term that we have come to call the gospel, the resurrection, the death of Jesus, and how that is good news for all people, because It reminds us that because of what God has done for us, that we have the possibility of forgiveness. And in that condition, have the possibility of living a life that actually does have a lot of benefits. So what I hope that you can expect to hear here at New Life every single week is relevant biblical sermons. And I think what that means is that I hope that you'll hear something about Jesus, you'll hear something about His death and His resurrection, and you'll hear something about a call to submit your life to His Lordship, because we know that living in His kingdom is the best way to live. Our message that we want to proclaim is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, and the good news is that you and I can have forgiveness of sins, and my prayer is that we will always preach that that you'll always hear that when I preach. Now, there are other ways to preach, right? They'll agree with that, right? There are other ways to preach. There's more than just the pulpit. There's this table. That's another way to preach. And what I hope that you're going to hear this morning is that there are a variety of ways that our church preaches. I'm one of them. This is one of them. And you're one of them. Now, I'll come back to that other one, that last one there in a little bit. But right now, I just want you to hear something about this table here. Because every Sunday, no matter what else happens, if I fall completely flat on my face, if I fail to preach to you a biblically or relevant sermon, none of us will leave this church without hearing the gospel. Because every week that we meet, this table right here behind me, that table is set, and this sermon is preached week after week after week. 52 weeks a year, we come to this table and are reminded of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we hold in our hands that bread and that cup. We hold in our hands the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel, which is the good news, that somebody died for you and for me. You don't have to die. And so we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together this morning. We're going to celebrate it as a sermon about Jesus Christ who came because He loved you, a sermon about Jesus who came and He died because He loved you, who was raised because God loves you, and He invites you to share in that life with Him. So would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for these elements, for this cup and this loaf that we have that remind us of Your shed blood, Your broken body that was given for the sins of mankind. And we're reminded each and every week that we come and we partake of that meal that we, as we take of that, we are participating in that, not just a remembrance, but we realize and recognize our relationship with You. That we've made a commitment to not only to the body of Christ, but we've ultimately made a commitment to You, to live for You under Your Lordship. So I pray, God, that as we partake of that today, that You would remind us of these things, that You would allow us to celebrate today this and to see this as a sermon and let it speak to us as we take of that bread and of that cup. We ask that You would bless these emblems. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. It is a scary thought, but it is the case. We not only preach with words here, we do that regularly. We not only preach through our worship, we preach through our music, through the lyrics, we preach through the Lord's Supper. All those things are an attempt, I think, to tell the story. But every one of you is a preaching minister of New Life Christian Church. And here's why, because the world is watching us to see whether or not that our attendance here is making a difference at all in our lives. Because I think that the world is looking to see a sermon. They don't listen well, but they do observe very well. They just want to know, does it matter? People watch us. They make assumptions. And whether you're a paid professional or whether or not you're a farmer or whatever it is that you do, it doesn't make one bit of difference, does it? What people are looking to see is what a Christian looks like. They're looking to see whether or not the gospel literally gets preached in the lives and in the hearts of people who claim to know something about Jesus. And the thing that is so incredible to me is how God purposely puts every single one of us in, you know, next to our neighbors. He puts us in an environment or alongside people that we work with, and so that our lives are going to simply, you know, mesh and intermingle with people, and that we're simply going to preach a sermon for people to hear the gospel in our lives. The Apostle Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads in triumphal procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." I like this. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life, and who is equal to such a task? We are, right? We don't get the chance, or the choice. This is what we've been called to by virtue of having given our lives to Jesus Christ. We have all agreed to be the aroma of Christ. We'll live our life, and people will see something of the gospel. Now, stay with me just for a second here, because that's, I think, the heart of our message, the gospel. The heart of the gospel is the simple story of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The heart of the gospel, according to everything that we read in Scripture, is the simple tale of the one who was willing to die so that God could raise him up again. And that is our story. Our story is the story of one who is submitted to death so that God could raise them up as something new. That is your story. Every time people see the death of your old life and the resurrection of somebody new, every time that they see the change that Christ elicits in you, every time that they see the newness of your response to the life and its to our lives and or to life and its difficulties, they see and they hear the gospel alive. We are sermons. That's the nature of what happens. We preach by the way that we live. And some people who are antagonistic to the gospel of Christ will smell us as an obnoxious stench. It won't matter how good your life is because the smell is going to be obnoxious to them. But others, the people that we care about, who have an open heart to what God is doing, they will smell life. And so we pour ourselves into the lives of people. We make friends of people who don't know anything about Jesus. We make sure that we meet people and that we preach. And sometimes we even use words. But oftentimes we just live. And in that life we give people a picture of what it means to know Jesus Christ. You know what I hope and I pray for that happens right here every single week? I hope and I pray that from this place that the message of Christ is going to be heard. Repent and find forgiveness of sins. Give your lives to Him. Let Him have it all, and He will shape your life. I hope for those of us who have been Christians a long time and can't really remember what it was like to have been lost, my prayer is that we would somehow remember that the change that God wants in you and me is a lifetime experience. And I hope that each and every one of us, each and every week, has an opportunity to encounter God. And that we are changed just a little bit more each week into the shape of Jesus. So that we can go back into our world and people will see something that is inviting. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for preaching. We recognize, I think today as we look at this topic, that each and every one of us has an opportunity to be a sermon. And maybe that's a different way of looking at things, but I believe strongly, God, that everything that we do in our lives sends a message to people, either a good message about who Jesus is or a negative one. And God, our desire here at New Life is that wherever we might be, that we would represent you well, that we would share a picture of people, that they would see a genuine Jesus, who you really are, and recognize that in us. And when people are talking about us, they would say, yes, that what I see is what Christianity should be about. I pray that you would help us to model that and to be light in this world to the people around us, so that people will know truly who you are. Help us to be a great sermon to people. Father, thank you for challenging us today. We ask that as we leave this place today, that you would help us to, again, just go out into the world, just be bold around us, and to speak plainly and clearly, and people will see not us, but they would see Jesus Christ. And we pray this in His name. Amen.